All right, 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Gary, I appreciate your words. They touch my heart a lot. We need to be ever mindful when we study the wonderful truths that we have. You know, that it's just not technical information. Now, it is very technical, but the technical information will lead you to a place that touches your heart and changes your life. And if it doesn't, then it's just intellectual. And God hadn't finished his work in us yet. One of the themes that Charles gave us is Jesus Christ, who he is, his purpose, his relationship to his Father, to us, etc. I'm sure many of you on this journey that we share together, the longer you're on the journey, you realize that you bring up the subject and Christianity probably has it wrong. It's just the way of the adversary, isn't it? And they have God all wrong, and they have Jesus Christ all wrong. And we're going to talk some about the technical points of that. And just like Martin, all his messages today are going to be on one of the other themes for us, and the study of spiders. And today all mine are going to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And tomorrow I'll talk about one of the future events, but so that you'll know. And each one of these will sort of flow into the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Nevertheless, for us, there is one God. There is one God. We don't even have to guess who he is, do we? Comma, the Father. For us there is one God, the Father, out of whom all is. Oh, is there a greater truth than that? And we for him, and one Lord. And he doesn't leave us any doubt who this is. Jesus Christ. Wow, are those pretty simple words? One God, one Lord, the one God is the Father, and the one Lord is his Son, Jesus Christ. There are some beautiful words in the English language. Some of my favorite words in the English language is husband and wife and sons and daughters. Those are such beautiful words. I have three sons and a daughter, and I could not love them anymore. I have given my life for them, living it every day, and I would lay down my life for any one of them. My oldest son is with me today. My firstborn. Come up here for a minute.
If Daniel is right, you gotta go right. You're the firstborn.
I love him.
Me too.
I get to spend every day with him. Our desks are just a few feet apart. My father was the greatest man I ever knew. And this is the second greatest man I know. This man right here. My name is Clyde Pelkington. What's your name?
My name is Clyde Pelkington.
I live in Wimber, Pennsylvania. Where do you live?
Wimber, Pennsylvania.
I publish books. We have about 150 in print. What do you do?
I publish books. There's about 150 in print.
I'm the father.
I'm the son.
Thank you. God designed the family unit so he could teach us some things. Now, if you listen to our story, you might think we were the same person. We have the same name, we live at the same place, we do the same things. You might think that we were the same person. And if you thought that, you'd really get confused after a while. And things would really get distorted for you. The truth would get distorted for you. And that would eventually lead you to some very wrong conclusions. And it would cause you to actually believe some lies about us that are not true. Words are important. God established the family. Here's the father, and here's the son. And those are two of the most wonderful words in the English language. I'm glad that the Lord, and we're going to talk about this later, Jesus Christ came here to reveal to us that God is the Father. That's exactly what we want. We want a God who's our Father. And we want to know Him in the person of His Son so that we can have a relationship with the Father like the Son does and call Him Abba. We can call Him Daddy. You know, and it does change our view, doesn't it? Instead of some stainless steel, cold, judicial God, far off in the universe, He's your dad. And I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes in this first slot about the relationship between Christ and His Father. And Jesus Christ came to give us a glimpse of His Father so that we could enjoy Him as our Father. You know, if you and I, if some of you here could get in on this relationship that my son and I have together, it'd be a sweet thing. You couldn't get any closer to me than if you got in this in between, in the midst of this relationship. And you won't get any closer to the God of the universe than when you get right in the middle of that relationship between the Father and the Son. God gave us. Listen, we didn't make up fathers and sons. We didn't make up that idea, you know? We just didn't spring from nothing and decide, you know what? I think I'm going to be a dad. I don't know what that is, but I think I'm going to be one. God designed it that way. And then He comes along and reveals Himself that way. And that He has a son. And if we get this confused in our mind, we will lose the gripping truth that the Scripture is going to uncover for us. Some will teach that somehow they're eternally coexisted and they're equal. I should know. I used to teach that stuff. Instead, now we read the plain words on the page. You don't have to go there, but Numbers 23, 19 says, God is not a man. God is not a man. And then he says, neither is he the Son of Man. Tells us in Hosea 11:9, I am God and not a man. And then the scriptures talk to us, go to John chapter 8, that Jesus is a man. If you don't understand that the Son is the Son and the Father is the Father, this will be confusing. John chapter 8 and verse 40. You know, we're not making this up, we're just reading it. John 8:40. Yet now you are seeking to kill me, comma, a man who has spoken to you the truth, which I hear from God. Aren't those plain words? You know? I appreciate what Gary said earlier about all this baggage that we carry with us. We carry all this baggage with us that we can't even hear the simplest words. The simplest, listen to me, the simplest definition of who Jesus Christ is to go to his trial. When they're trying to capture him in blasphemy. And how they do that is they say, he says, you know what would really get him? What would really be blasphemy is if he said he was God. But you know what they said the blasphemy was? He said he is the Son of God. That was Peter's the revelation given to Peter, wasn't it? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, the Spirit revealed that to you. The Father revealed this truth to you. He said, I'm a man. The Father's not a man, but the Son is a man. In fact, he's the Son, not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. If you're raised in traditional Christian teachings that either think that the Son and the Father are the exact same one, or that somehow there are three persons that share the title of God, or all these little combinations of things, what this may sound strange and odd to you, and it may sound demeaning to the Lord Jesus Christ. This actually exalts the Lord Jesus Christ to a wonderful place. And you'll learn to have a relationship with Jesus Christ when you see who he is, who the scriptures teach is. You'll get to have a relationship with him that we'll talk about later today. That is a wonderful place. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men, Israelites, hear these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man demonstrated to be from God for you by powerful deeds and miracles and signs which God does through him in the midst of you. Man, those are clear words. How come I couldn't read those? Religion can muddle your mind not to see the simplest words on a page. The simplest truth I know is Father and Son. It's probably the first truth I know in my life is Father and Son. The first word I ever said, now this is going to be, I shouldn't even be telling you funny stuff. Got 11 minutes left. The first words I ever said was Uncle Clyde. They said, so, Uncle Clyde? Uncle Clyde? And I was talking about my dad, whose name is Clyde. And what had happened is, we had went to North Carolina, and my father there were 13 children. He was one of 13. And so we spent like a week visiting 12 brothers and sisters, and then all their children, which were all all his nephews and nieces, and they all called him for a week Uncle Clyde. The first words I ever said were Uncle Clyde. That was my dad. And I kept hearing him call it, But the first truths I ever know are about a father and a son. And it's so plain. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Say, well, this father-son thing, this thing about Jesus Christ being a man, this all has to do with his earthly life, but once he went through the death, burial, and resurrection and he's exalted, this has changed. Somebody forgot to tell Paul. In fact, this is Paul that we read right here. We have one God, the Father, one Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is... That sounds familiar. Paul really knows how to say that. He said it so much that I missed it for 40 years. You know? For there is one God and one mediator of God and mankind, a man, Christ Jesus. Wow. Still presented that way for us. As Tony already showed us, Jesus refers to his Father as God. After his resurrection, he said that he had not yet ascended to his Father and your Father. And my God and your God. Jesus Christ calls his Father God. Jesus Christ recognized, the Son recognized the Father as the only true God. John 17, verse 3. John 17, 3. He recognized him as the only true God. John 17, 3. Now it is the only in life that they may know thee, the only true God, and the only one, the only true God, and him whom thou hast commissioned, Jesus Christ. I got 7 minutes. We could do this all afternoon. And those of you who have studied this for yourself know this. Tony also brought, and I was glad, when Tony asked, earlier, which one you want me to speak on, I was picking Jesus Christ so I could weed out my notes. he didn't know that. You know? So I'm like, okay, I don't have to do that one. Right? And another one that Tony showed us was the fact that Jesus Christ, talking about his Father, and he says, and he is greater than I. What about that co-equal kind of deal? Another one that Tony brought out that Paul emphasizes is that order of subjection, and that the head of Jesus Christ is God. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, you don't have to go there, but it says that God made Jesus Christ, Jesus to be both Lord and Christ. He made him be that. In the future, 1 Corinthians 15, 28, in the future, Jesus Christ will give up all the kingdoms to the Father and be subject unto him. See, if over today and tomorrow you begin to have conversations with me and you and I talk and you have conversations with my son and talk to him and somehow you think we're the same person, you're going to get so confused. There is a relationship here that runs deep and our interests are the same. We went out for lunch yesterday, We didn't even know it. We picked the same thing off a big menu. You know? Why wouldn't we? You know what the saying is? Like father, like son. That's why Jesus can say, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. See, he can tell you that. He can say, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. He even looks a little like me. Ephesians chapter 4. So this is the first part of three sessions today that I will talk about Jesus Christ. The next session I'm going to talk about that Jesus Christ is his Father's image. And then in our final session today on this topic, I'm going to talk about that he's Emmanuel. He is God with us. Oh man, can't wait to get to that one. People think Emmanuel is some kind of invitation that you invite God into your life. Jesus Christ is God with us. He is already our life. Oh, can't wait to talk about that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord. Right here. Paul loves to talk about this. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God. Oh yeah, in case you, and Father. Don't forget who he is. We make sure we know who he is. Son's over here. One Lord, one God. John chapter 8, verse 17. John chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus clearly identifies him and his Father as two. He can count. See, I can count. Watch. Me, Father, one. Son, two. One, two. Now, I know Jesus Christ talked, said that I and the Father are one. In that same line of thought, he also prayed in the garden that all of the disciples could be one as he and the Father are one. You know, so if you want to go on that line of unity, well, then you get to be God too. You get the Trinity's growing. But Jesus could count. Look in John 8. I forgot to go. John 8, 17. And yet, if ever I should be judging, my judging is true, for not alone am I, but I, and, get back to my place here, but I and the Father, I and the Father, now, keep reading, who sends me, yet, in this law also of yours, it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one testifying concerning myself, and the Father who sends me is testifying concerning me. Jesus said, the law requires two testimonies. I'm testifying, and the Father's testifying. Two testimonies. And numerous other places we can see that same kind of thing. We see that in, well, trying to look. Okay, one more. Let's get one more. Acts chapter 7. Theology makes the Bible confusing.
That's their job.
That's their job. There you go. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. 55. Acts 7, 55. Now, possessing the fullness of faith and Holy Spirit, looking intensely into heaven, he perceived the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And lo, I am beholding the heavens open and the Son of Mankind standing at the right hand of God. You know how many times they're contrasted there? And they're a team. They're a team. I thank God for my son. You know. And ever how long our Father has planned, we've been a team for a long time. He's my right-hand man. Father may have other plans in the future, but I'm thankful for that. And the scriptures teach us clearly about a father and about his son. All right. We'll talk more about it later.